old pink wheel, and that's Garage.
Hello, everyone. This is the co-host emeritus, the Laughing Buddha, welcoming you to a live edition of the Pink Wheelnuts Garage. And from the closed for business state of Vancouver, it's the Faye Driver. Welcome, Faye.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Pink Wheelnuts Garage. So, Laughing Buddha, did you have to actually work today? Because, you know, here in Canada, we all have our feet up on our desk.
Well, you know, I work for Liberal Public Radio, so absolutely. I was at my desk slaving away after a sick day yesterday, getting things done.
Aw, yeah, that's too bad. So are you feeling better?
Actually, yeah, I'm bouncing back from this a little bit more quickly than some of my coworkers have. I still feel a little congested. I'm not sure you can hear that in my voice tonight or not. But yeah, actually, after sleeping for about 10 hours the other night and taking it easy yesterday, I feel good.
Fantastic. Well, we here in Canada are on a holiday day. I didn't work today. Mr. Anderson didn't work today. And it's a beautiful, sunny spring day here. So we've been out working in the yard, and it's been a very lovely day around here. Now, just before we carry on, I see that that blue jeans guy is ready. I'm going to add him in. While I do that, Laughing Buddha, maybe you could introduce our first guest.
Sure. Joining us from the left coast would be that Peter G. Hello, Peter. Welcome to the show.
Hello, everyone. How you doing?
And also joining us, we have George in Atlanta. Welcome, George.
Hello.
Greetings and salutations.
And I believe David, that blue jeans guy, has just joined us. Welcome.
Hello. That would be me.
Hello, David.
Hello. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you
Good.
Today?
I am doing very well, too. Thank you.
Did you have to work today? Because we here in Canada, we did not.
Well, I did not have to work today, but not because of the holiday.
Oh, well, that sounds ominous. Do you want to tell us about it, or should we just gloss it over?
No, it was a good thing. Basically, just schedule changed around to accommodate a district manager visit.
Oh.
Yeah, it's just Good Friday and Easter Sunday are not recognized holidays by my company. So, you know, and the fact that I'm still an hourly person means that, you know, that lovely thing called overtime isn't given out much. So there we go.
Well, there you go. Well, then we're happy to have you here on the Pink Wheelnuts Garage.
Well, I'm happy to be had.
So for the rest of you poor sods who had to work today, I hope you're now able to enjoy your Friday and your long weekend. You know, as is the routine on the Pink Wheelnuts Garage, we go around and indicate what we might be drinking. So Laughing Buddha, do you want to start us off?
Sure. I basically mixed my usual, which is a Silver Bullet Martini. And if we have any new listeners, that is equal parts gin and vodka, dirty, which means a little olive juice, and just a whisper of vermouth.
A whisper. That Peter G.
Yes.
How about you? Are you imbibing tonight?
Well, I have a bit of a sore throat, so I'm drinking some eucalyptus tea.
Oh,
and at some point, I will put a little dollop of gin in there because gin in tea is divine.
Is it? I've never had that.
Yes, it's excellent. Ooh. It's a great drink for a little shawl-wearing spinster.
And George, what about yourself?
I am just picturing that shawl-wearing spinster. I don't know what to call it. I just threw something together. It's a little sky vodka and pomegranate juice and a little splash of tonic water.
Oh, that sounds lovely. That's similar to my backup drink. I have that I'll go into my own drink, and we'll get to that that blue jeans guy in a sec. I, of course, am having a martini, a dirty martini. Well, no, it's a lemon drop martini. I call it a lemon drop. It's similar to Laughing Buddha's dirty martini without the olive juice, but with like a half a lemon squeezed into it. And then when I run out of that, because I'm almost out of vodka. So, well, technically I'm out of vodka now. When that runs dry on me, I have, similar to your drink, George, it's actually cranberry juice and vodka. And so, one of my favorites.
That's the normal, but I didn't have any cranberry juice, so I just opted for the, you know, the health benefits of the pomegranate.
Pomegranate juice is weird, sure. Though. Do you find it sweet or overpowering?
I think it's no. I don't find it too sweet. There's a lot of mixers that I think are too sweet, but this has got just enough tang, a little tartness to it that I'm kind of okay. Now, granted, I use just a thimbleful of it. I mean, it's not very much. Yeah. I mean, it just turns the drink kind of pink. Mm-hmm. So maybe we'll call it the Faye Driver.
How lovely. David, are you having a beverage of any sort?
At the moment, I'm drinking water because I'm finishing up my meal, but I will probably have a Blue Moon beer later on.
Oh, ooh. Very nice.
That's a good one.
Yes, thank you. Love it.
Is that from a local brewery or tell us the story of the Blue Moon.
Okay, let me grab, because I have another bottle sitting right here.
Like a man who's always got a bottle handy.
Yeah, there we go, yeah. It's actually in Golden, Colorado. It's kind of got the microbrewery taste. This one I've got is a Belgian white, Belgian-style wheat ale, and it's just got a very kind of smooth finish. The common way that people have it here is to have it with an orange slice in it.
Really?
And it really sets it off, really. There's kind of an orange note in it anyway, so that just helps... it's really nice way to have it done.
There's actually notes of orange and coriander.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow. It's a lovely beer.
It really is, yeah. With it being in Colorado, I would think that you should be able to find it somewhere around Vancouver, I would think. Maybe on the Washington side.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe.
I'll have a look for it.
Sure. It's very nice.
Yeah, good. So Laughing Buddha, we have some very interesting people in the chat room tonight on pride48.com. Do you want to let us know who's joined us?
We certainly do. We have Big Fatty is joining us in the fat room. The fat room. and we have also, we have Bride of Feyenstein. I have no idea who that could be. There's also Fucky McFuckman. And Moose has also joined us in the chat room, along with the rest of us who are in there noodling around.
Right. Well, thank you, people, for joining us here tonight. And just so people know, this will be an enhanced podcast. So if you're listening to this when we are not live, you will be able to see the pictures of some of the vehicles that we're going to talk about tonight. So you can look on your iPod or iPad or whatever listening device you might have, or in iTunes, and you can see the pictures as they click along. When you'll hear a shutter click, and that will indicate a new picture has popped up. So let's get into the business here in the garage. We have kind of a lot of exciting things going on. We're going to turn to George in Atlanta right away. George, without any further ado, what big exciting news might you have?
Well, first of all, I require lots more ado, but I'll deal with it.
I don't have any fanfare music to play, but I can.
Right. No, a week ago today, I purchased my first vehicle in 10 years. I got the 2013 Ford Escape SE.
Wow.
Congratulations.
So, it's very exciting. The 2003 Jeep Liberty was still completely dependable, but it's a rough ride, and it's a manual transmission, and it's dirty. So it was time to get rid of it, you know.
Mm-hmm. So just to explain for people, I'm going to put a picture in the chat room. Explain for us the configuration of this vehicle. This is what you might call a crossover.
Yeah,
how many doors and
yeah, you know. it's a four door. They call it a crossover, which is sort of a I guess its term comes from a crossover between a cross between a car and an SUV. But I don't think it's as small as say the Mazda CX-5. But it's right. It's 14 feet long and 6 feet wide. Four-door, the back seat has a 60-40 fold-down configuration, which is great for hauling Christmas trees and such. It's front-wheel drive. It's not all-wheel drive. And it has a 1.6-liter engine with EcoBoost, which I'm told basically means turbocharged. The Jeep was not very powerful. That was another thing that I found terribly annoying. Almost, you know, minutes after I drove it off the lot, the test drive went well, but somehow I'm not sure I got the same vehicle I test drove. But with this vehicle, it
with
was
the Jeep, you mean?
With the Jeep, yeah, yeah. 10 years ago. But this thing has just a tremendous amount of power for me. I don't, you know, I'm not, I'm certainly no Fay driver, kids. I don't require a ton of power, but I don't want to have to accidentally be worried if I pull out in front of somebody and I don't have enough giddy up and go to get me out, you know, across the intersection very quickly. So. It's got ample power. I guess the thing I'm probably most excited about is how quiet it is. It's a very comfortable ride and quiet. No, I am not a hoon. That must be Scotty.
It must be. We figured out who Bride of Van Stein is. In the chat.
So yeah, I love it. It's a SE model, which is not the, I guess it's sort of the middle of the pack or sort of just below the middle of the pack. The SELs, there appear to be some SEs that are sort of more tricked out than what I got. Mine's sort of basic package. It does have as Big Fatty put it when I asked him about his Ford Escape, it's got just enough bells and whistles to make you happy. So, yeah.
So now, the thing that's interesting to me about all of these new cars is they all have a lot of technology in them as far as connectivity goes to your smartphone and the internet and all that kind of thing. Can you tell us what kind of features you have in your car?
Yeah, it does not have the navigation package, which I'm fine with. It does have the Sirius satellite radio, and it does have Bluetooth, which was almost embarrassingly simple to. I literally pulled out the manual and the reading glasses and tried to figure out, okay, how do I connect this? Because surely I don't have to use a wire, although it does have auxiliary ports and USB ports. I literally found the page and it's like, just say Bluetooth audio. So there's an active sync, or not active sync, but a sync button sort of behind the windshield wiper area. You just pull it toward you and you give it a command to tell it to either make a phone call or to play Bluetooth audio, and it just immediately started playing what was on my iPhone. So it couldn't be simpler. Couldn't be simpler. And the salesman, after we wrapped up the purchase, like the first thing he did was set me down and sort of explain some of the features, and within like 2 seconds he had downloaded my entire phone book into the vehicle. So
nice.
I was driving around when I got my first phone call was from Big Fatty.
Oh wow. Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Yes, you do share vehicles with the international internet celebrity, don't you?
I do. I am going to point out the fact, however, his is not of the 2003 remodel. I'm bragging, Fatty. the very latest has a little bit of stylish remodeling to it. I think they're really trying to compete with it. They've got enough power and other sort of attributes to the vehicle, and I think they've tried to snazz up the appearance. I love it. It's making me very happy.
Right. I don't want to point out your foibles, but you said 2003, meaning 2013. Oh, so
sorry, no,
everyone is haranguing you in the chat room right now. But I will protect you, George. We yes. all know what you meant.
Thank you very much.
Well, that's terrific. So you're using it to drive back and forth on your 1.5-mile drive to work.
Correct. I haven't put more than 50 miles on it yet.
And you've said in past shows that you carry a lot of stuff around with you in your work. And how's it doing for handling your load?
It's episodic. I mean, I haven't had to carry anything just yet, but I typically have events, community events, or sales events, et cetera, for the affordable housing organization that I work for. I haven't had need for it just yet, but I'm probably also going to stray away from carrying things. I've still got that sort of I don't want anything to happen to it feeling. I don't want anybody to scratch it. I don't want it to be dirty. So I'm going to try and make it through a few months, but it's got ample storage space. It's got probably, you know what? I actually recently got a 60-inch TV, and the box that it was in was like 70 inches, so it fit like just bloom, throw it in there. It fit so easily.
Oh, nice. That's a ridiculously large TV, George.
It's almost too large.
Almost. What do you watch on that TV? Don't tell us. Does anybody on the call have any questions for George and about his new Ford Escape?
Well, George, is that a hybrid? I thought the Ford Escapes were hybrids.
No, the little EcoBoost name sort of threw me too when I started researching it. I kind of assumed EcoBoost had something to do with hybrid, but no. In fact, I'm not sure they make a hybrid model of the Escape. They might, but I haven't read or seen anything about it. And I wouldn't be able to afford a hybrid anyway.
Right. What is the gas mileage like? What is the gas mileage like?
It's advertised 23 in the city and 33 on the highway.
It's not bad for a crossover.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah.
Go ahead.
It does have the little sort of instant readout that shows you what sort of average mileage you're getting right now. I'm not getting 23 miles in the city, but that might have more to do with the fact that I'm driving 3.2 miles round trip.
Right. Have you now had occasion to carry any people around in your car?
No, I had Romo in the vehicle at lunch last Saturday just to check it out, but I've not yet had that opportunity. That's probably going to come early next week when I've got to go out of town for a work trip.
Right. Well, that's terrific. Congratulations, George.
Thank you.
We are all very happy for you, I think. Does anyone else have any questions for George?
Actually, George, you had mentioned that it had just enough bells and whistles to keep you happy. So what is your favorite bell and what is your favorite whistle?
Well, I think clearly the sound system and its ease of use and connectivity to my iPhone. I'm pleasantly surprised with Sirius. It's, of course, it comes with a free 6-month subscription to Sirius satellite radio, and I have actually been fairly addicted to it. So they might actually suck me into buying that when the free subscription runs out. I think beyond that, the keyless entry, I lost my it's got a keyless entry and the little side panel combination lock. So all of these things are not terribly new, but they're new to me.
Big Fatty wants to know if you have heated seats.
I do not have the heated seats, nor the cooled seats. And I will say that's the only drawback I've noticed thus far. Sorry, Atlanta's burning right now. I'm sure you can hear that. The amount of time it takes for the heat to sort of warm up in the mornings is actually takes a little longer than I expected it to. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. Smaller engine, probably, than your Jeep.
Well, actually, I'm not sure. The Jeep is a pretty crappy engine.
Oh, really? It would have been a straight six, wouldn't it? You're in your Jeep? Like a 2-3 liter something or other?
No. I think it was one. I want to say it was not. Most of the Jeeps had advertised the 3.7 liter, and I did not. Maybe it was too. I did not have. I know I didn't have the 3.7. It was not a very powerful car.
George, you know. Was that a Cherokee or was that the Wrangler?
No, it was the Liberty.
Oh, the Liberty. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Sport, no less.
Hmm. Yeah. So you're only driving a short distance, and you're not really giving your car a chance to heat up. And and being it'll be a 4-cylinder engine. I'm supposing it's a 4-cylinder engine.
It is.
Mm-hmm. I think that's what the EcoBoosts are.
Right.
Go ahead.
It will. I'm excited about taking. I've got a lot of folks. I've not done any road trips in forever. I mean, I haven't seen my mother in like a year and a half, and she's climbing my ladder. So I'm looking forward to getting it out on the road. I've got trips planned to, oh Lord, Florida, Kentucky, Virginia, and possibly points west.
Hmm. Vancouver is west.
Not quite that.
Oh, okay. all right. Thank you, George. I just want to move the show along a little bit. So I really appreciate you letting us know all the excitement about your new car. We're so happy.
Sure. Thank you.
So now just a couple of quick things before we carry on. We've got a couple of new people in the chat room. Laughing Buddha, can you read off the new joiners?
That's right. Haunt Cub has joined us, as has Jay at Orlando, as well as Toppy Smelly.
Right on. And Toppy Smelly wants to get a little note of advice out to people. did you see his comment?
Yeah, actually I did. Toppy's advice for this episode is, when your headlight has apparently gone out, always be sure to lift the hood and jostle things around a bit before you go to the auto store and buy a new bulb. You may not need it. The end.
And Toppy, if you have time, I want you to tell me in the chat room what the status of your oil is. I hope to God you've checked it once since the show you were on.
That's right. We're dying for an oil update from you.
Mm-hmm. So, Peter G., let's move on to Peter G. and your special situation. I know you're having a bit of an odd thing happening to you in your car.
Right, in my little Nissan Versa. And as you know, I commute back and forth every day, and I listen to all the little shows and music on my iPod through my auxiliary jack. And it was during a kind of a quiet show. You wouldn't hear this noise when Big Fatty is doing his show because it's a little louder. But I think it was Game Night Guys. And, you know, they're like, lots of pauses in their show as they're rolling dice and moving pieces and stuff like that. And during one of those pauses, I turned on my lights because it was getting dark outside. And I started hearing this buzzing, humming, high-pitched, you know, whining kind of noise. And so I turned my lights off and it stopped. I turned the lights back on and it went on again. So apparently this is happening all the time, and I've since done it many more times. And yes, every time I have something plugged in the auxiliary jack, my iPod plugged in there, and then I turn the lights on, I start to hear this noise. And it's very faint. You wouldn't hear it with music or with something loud. But if it's anything that's quiet or a quiet piece of music playing, you really do hear it. So I just thought that was a very strange thing. Why would turning on the lights make this noise?
Right. Well, I have a theory, but let's go around the room and see if anyone else, does anyone have any recommendations for Peter as to why this might be happening?
Gremlins.
Oh. Yeah, when's the last time you smudged the vehicle?
Yeah, really.
Okay, well, the issue is it's an electrical problem, which is probably fairly obvious, and It's not necessarily a problem, but what you're experiencing is electrical interference, Peter.
Uh-huh.
So when you turn on the headlights, you're imparting a load on the electrical system, because the headlights are one of the highest heavy electrical demand on your car.
Uh-huh.
So by turning on the lights, you're asking the alternator and the electrical system and essentially the alternator to provide a bunch more power to the electrical system. this could be an early warning that your alternator might be failing, because what's happening is when you're asking the alternator to provide a bunch of power to generate a bunch of electricity to support the headlights, and the buzz you're hearing is the electrical interference of the alternator generating that electricity. So this you can also experience this when under no load if you have a spark plug wire that's faulty, because a faulty spark plug wire will generate, it basically generates a strong electrical field around the spot that might be corroded. And you could be hearing, like when you rev the engine up, in the case of a spark plug wire problem, if you rev the engine up, the buzz will increase with the revving of the engine. Have you noticed that in any way?
No. I'm consistent. Not the most cognizant of what's going on in my car all the time, you know. So maybe I'm not the best person to ask if I've noticed anything.
Right. Well, you do say it's very faint, right?
It is faint, but it's definitely there when at the moment you turn on the headlights.
Mm-hmm. So I think I wouldn't be too concerned about it at this point until it starts to get very noticeable. If you hear it without the pause of audio, then the situation is worsening. And if it does get worse, then I suspect one of the brushes in your alternator is probably failing. Do people want me to explain what the brushes are on the alternator?
Sure.
Okay. Why, thank you for asking. What happens is an alternator is like an electric motor in reverse. An electric motor takes electricity, and there's a bunch of wire windings, and the electrical field runs through the wire windings, and it causes basically a spindle, I guess, to turn, and that makes the electric motor run. The alternator is the reverse of that. There's a belt that is connected to the spindle on your alternator, and when you turn the car on, the belt is connected to the engine, it makes the alternator turn around, and it turns the spindle, and the spindle has these things called brushes on them, and the brushes are part of the system that transfers the electricity from the spindle into the wire windings, I guess. And quite often these brushes, they wear out because it's a wear part, because the brush rides on a spring. It's constantly rubbing against the spindle, and as they wear out, or if there's a problem, a brush can fall out of its little spot where it's supposed to ride on the spindle, and this can cause your alternator to fail. So if your buzzing gets worse, then it's very likely that you have a brush that's falling apart. Okay. And in some cases, they can just replace the brushes, but more often than not, you have to replace the whole alternator.
Okay. Well, I'll listen for that, Faye. That's good to know.
But I wouldn't worry about it. It's a common situation. I think many people, if you listen very carefully, with the same situation, if you listen to the radio or anything, as you turn on different electrical components in your car, you can hear the buzzes change, and it doesn't indicate a problem unless it becomes extremely noticeable. Then you've got a problem.
Now, Faye, let me ask you this, because my previous car was a Volvo, and the default on the Volvo was that when the car was on, the lights were on. And there, you could turn that off, but I never did. I always just left it on. You know how safety-conscious those Swedes are.
Sure,
And that car had to have its alternator replaced more than once. So does that default setting on a car, does that contribute to the decline of an alternator faster than it normally would? Or is that built? Do they build those with more powers to compensate for the lights being on all the time?
No, I wouldn't say that they had that. I wouldn't say that they would improve the alternator to deal with that. No, it's a I think it's a common problem. I mean, you're by having the headlights on all the time, you're constantly imparting a load on the electrical system. So, right. You know, the alternator always has to work, whereas without the headlights on, it has to work less. So it's a wear and tear item, essentially.
I see. Okay.
So, but I wouldn't, as I said, I wouldn't worry about it at this point until you start to really notice it and until it becomes annoying.
Okay. Well, thank you.
And thank you for bringing it to our attention. Does anybody have anybody else have any questions about alternators or electrical systems?
Well, Faye, oftentimes, you know, I receive a phone call and someone is having problems with their radio reception. Now, some of the things that can interfere with the signal and electronics is, like you say, electromagnetic interference. But not a lot of people know that also things like appliances and fluorescent lights can also affect radio reception. And I'm curious, you know, given the fact that Peter only experiences this phenomenon when he turns on his lights, would a light filled with anything like, say, halogen or like a different kind of noble gas, is that going to affect anything like that?
Well, that's a noble question. No, I'm not sure. I think it depends on it. I think it completely depends on the draw that the electrical device has. The more power a device draws, the stronger electrical interference it's going to create, I think. So I'm not an expert on halogen versus fluorescent lights, but I think it would depend on the device itself. You know, my house, you hear me complain often about my house and how shoddily it's built. And I experience this electrical interference problem a lot because I run music through my house. I'll play music on my computer and it gets delivered to various corners of my house. And right now, I have this horrible hum to my upstairs living room stereo that I've determined is somehow related to the electrical in my house, because I've disconnected the power and plugged it into various different sources. And depending on where I plug in the power for that stereo, I get a different level of electrical interference or hum out of my system. So I don't know, it's a bit of an experimentation thing. I understand that you can actually get filters or electrical filters that help reduce this interference problem. But, you know, beyond that, I don't know that I can answer that question.
Such is one of the mysteries of life, I guess.
It is, yeah.
Yeah, I can sort of answer part of what that is. That hum you're getting, mm-hmm. It's called a ground current. And sound systems, any kind of audio, is particularly sensitive to what are called ground currents. Essentially what happens is, as everyone knows, to get a good electrical connection, you always have a ground on your electrical service. Right. It's just a direct connection. And a lot of times, if the electrical service is big enough, there may be more than one ground point.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens is those ground points, even though it's supposed to be 0 volts, it may not really be 0 volts. So they get a current going between them. Anytime you have a voltage difference, you get a current going in there. Mm-hmm. And that's what you're hearing, is that current essentially going through the ground. It shows up as that hum in your audio. Mm-hmm. And yes, you can get filters that will take that out. Usually it's a 60 hertz notch filter. That'll take that out. Usually what you have to do is go to more like a music specialty store and you can get the power strips that have the I'm trying to remember what it's called right now. Just go to like a music specialty store and right. tell them that's what you've got going on. You need something to compensate for that. It's going to cost you some money. It'll look like a super-size surge arrestor, but it will deal with that.
Uh-huh. All right. I'll look into that. Well,
yes.
Well, David, while yes. we have you here, let's get to your situation, because you, too, have a car problem going on.
Yes, I do.
Do you want to tell us about what's happening for you? And just before you start, I just want to acknowledge in the chat room that Toppy Smelly has asked a very complex question. And I'm going to note that question, Toppy. If we have time, we'll get to it later tonight. But I'm going to archive that one for a future show just in case. All right. So, David, please yes. Tell us the issues you're having with your Ford pickup truck.
Okay. On the truck that I have, basically when I've put it into gear, a lot of times when I put it in reverse, and like I would naturally let off on the gas, you know, so that I didn't go rocketing out of my driveway, it would stall. And a lot of times when I put it in first gear, or, you know, it's an automatic. Okay. So when I put it in gear to drive, I get this kind of a grinding, chattering sound.
Wee.
Yeah, which I wasn't getting shaking or anything. And then most recently, one time when I put it in gear, essentially it was acting, if it was a manual, like the clutch was going in and out.
Oh, and it was so kind of like surging, you mean?
Surging and, you know, pulling back. So I did check my transmission fluid. I did add transmission fluid. Well, I put it in gear, and I just took it around the block. And the sound I was getting could best be described as almost like sewing machine, but not quite that loud. And I know it's not the lifters. And I know it's not the oil because I checked the engine oil. But I was only getting that sound when I actually put it in gear.
Right, okay.
And it just seemed like even in park or neutral that the engine sounds were much louder than normal.
Hmm.
So, and it just seemed like, too, that the amount of work that the engine was doing versus what I was actually getting as far as speed didn't right. quite match up.
So the engine is working harder, and what you're essentially saying is, you might put it into a gear, like reverse mm-hmm. or drive,
yeah.
but it doesn't move the way that you traditionally expect it to go backwards or forwards.
Right.
Is that so? When you accelerate the engine, you're not getting forward movement in a consistent manner? Is that what you're saying?
Right. Yeah, right. Essentially, yeah. It's like the engine's racing a lot higher than it should be versus the speed that I'm actually showing on the speedometer.
And then also you're getting some severe noises.
I had been. Now I'm not so much getting the noise. I mean, it was like the chattering. Then it would just go. Well, now it's almost like the constant. It's almost like I can hear the gears.
Oh, okay. So there's a whine or a hum or a buzz.
Not really, yeah, maybe closer to a buzz. Closer to a buzz, not really a whine. But it's almost like I can hear the transmission actually working.
All right. Well, yeah. I think you've pointed yourself in the right direction here. Mm-hmm. It sounds fairly obvious that you're having a transmission problem.
Right.
And it's an automatic transmission, right? You don't have right. a clutch. Yeah.
No.
So now I listened to your show, and you indicated that you thought it might be the torque converter in the transmission.
Yeah.
And is that because you got some expert advice in that regard? Did you speak to somebody or take it to a shop?
I haven't taken it to a shop yet. I've spoken to a couple people who, like one woman I talked with, her husband is a mechanic. She used to actually run the front end of the shop, and she could probably actually work on it. She's kind of like that, what's her name's character in My Cousin Vinny. Remember Marissa Tomei's character in My Cousin Vinny? She's kind of like that, where she could just rattle off information about cars. Okay. But I also talked with a couple of other people who are knowledgeable about that, and they keep saying it sounds like the torque converter. They said the lucky part would be is if that's what it is, that's the cheap option.
Right. Yeah. But not necessarily cheap. I mean, it's $300 or probably $400 for the torque converter itself.
Yeah.
And then the labor to put a new one in, and that's going to be another couple $100, two or three, I would think.
Yeah.
So now let me ask you, this truck is of a certain vintage. What year is it? And it's a Ford F-150?
Yeah, 1992.
Well, that's not too bad. Now, my concern is, this is, you know, that you're looking at, if it is a torque converter, which we don't know for a fact, but
right.
let's for discussion purposes, assume it's a torque converter. You know, you're looking at almost $1,000 to fix this truck.
Right.
And that's a lot of money to spend on a 92 Ford F-150. Is this, yeah. Do you need a truck for specific reasons? Because as I recall, did you buy this on a, in an emergency, or
yeah.
You got this truck sort of in a hurry, did you not?
Yeah. Yeah. Last year, basically my transmission went out on the Honda Accord that I had. Mm-hmm. Something about me and transmissions. I'm not sure what's going on there. That went out, and I needed something really quickly because at the same time, like, transmission goes out one day. The next day I find out that the guy I was living with as a boyfriend basically is moving out because he's moving in with someone he met online. And I needed to move very quickly because he was essentially dumping the lease on the trailer that we lived in. Yeah. So basically I needed wheels pretty quickly, and you know, $900 bought me a truck that, you know, was useful to get me moved and everything, and it's been good for short distances, but not something I'd want to try to take on, you know, an extended trip.
Now, are you willing to spend another $900 on this truck? Because my thought is, you know, a truck is an extremely inefficient vehicle, especially this one. I suspect it's got a V8 engine in it.
Yeah. So
it's probably horrible on gas.
It is.
And I would say you'd be better off to call an auto wrecker who would give you $50 to tow that thing away and get it off your hands and invest the $900 it's going to take you to fix this to buy a new car, like something like a toppy smelly mobile, like a Honda Civic, a 92 yeah. Honda Civic or something like that.
Yeah.
As I'm sure you can get a more efficient, more economical vehicle for the money that you're going to spend on this transmission.
Yeah. Yeah, I pretty much figured that, because I know, like, for the Honda, it was going to be $2,000 for that. You know, that's a Honda, and all Honda parts are usually expensive.
Right, right.
Yeah. But, yeah, I've been getting upwards of around $900 for estimates from other people that I've talked with, even for something used. And, you know, when I paid $900 for it, and there's just, I've already had to replace universal joints in it, which wasn't that expensive. Mm-hmm. And I'm just thinking, you know, at some point, this thing's just not gonna work one day.
Yeah, I would worry that this truck is of a period where you're gonna have to start spending a lot of money.
Yeah.
And if I were you, you say you're getting estimates from people who are friends, but I would say take it to a transmission shop and ask them for an estimate. They should be able to give you a free estimate.
Yeah.
And then, you know, a guy might say, well, all you need is a Jiggleton Rockter factor Macton nut. and it might be $50, but I think you should go get a professional opinion and decide from there whether you're willing to invest the money for that or cut your losses and buy a bus pass.
I'm thinking cut my losses right now, and you know, I've basically my work situation is such that I've got, you know, a person who's been willing, because she drives by my home on her way in to give me a ride there, and also the weather's getting better now, so I can walk there. It's only like 3 miles, and yeah, the exercise is good. So I'm kind of looking at, you know, doing that or investing in a bike. So, you know, I got several things. I guess the only downside is that our bus service doesn't run at night, which, you know, again, only 3 miles away. So, you know, that's not a big problem, because the main thing is I'm still trying to save money to go to Vegas.
Right.
You know? So, yeah, I'm thinking it's kind of cut my losses at this point.
Well, you know, the Ford F-150 is an extremely popular truck. And I think an auto wrecker would be smacking their lips to see one of them come in, and you would probably get a little bit of money for that. And you should just stick to your guns and drive a hard bargain with an auto wrecker, and they'll give you a bit of cash for that truck if you do decide that you don't want to spend any more money on it. So
by auto wrecker, you mean like a junkyard kind of thing?
That's right. Yeah.
All right.
An auto recycler.
Okay. Making sure I was understanding the Mexican there.
Right. Sorry.
Right. That's okay.
All right. Well,
yeah. So
go ahead.
Well, usually when I hear wrecker, I think like, you know, the tow truck.
Yeah.
Okay. So, okay.
Does anybody have any other advice for David?
Yeah. I think for the age that the vehicle is, it's best to cut your losses and try and replace it with something a little bit more reliable.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Well, let's go on. We're running short on time here. I just want to... Is Anthony Antaran in the room? He's not in the chat room.
No, I don't see him.
Right. Well, I want to address his question. Unfortunately, he's not here because I had a couple questions for him, but... Laughing Buddha, if you would, if you can find the question,
sure,
Anthony, and
I've
I'll
got
put
a
picture into the chat room for everybody.
All right. Anthony writes, "Hi, Faye. I have a 2009 Honda Civic SI. Here's my question. My driver's side mirror has become detached from the door. It's only the casing. As you can see, it's near the washing machine in the garage and gets bumped when passing through to the garage and pulling clothes out of the driver. What is the best way or the best glue to secure the mirror housing? Thanks, Ant."
All right. So let's go. Let's see. Does anybody have any recommendations for Ant on the call here?
Well, you know, I looked at the photo, and, you know, it looks like that little housing piece has kind of popped away from the housing assembly. And I'm just wondering if you couldn't just pop that back in instead of using a glue or some sort of adhesive.
Yeah, it's unclear to me exactly how significant the problem is. I'm wanting to know, is the whole mirror falling off, or is it just that little black plastic molding part?
It looks like if that fell off, the whole thing would fall off, though, right?
Well, it's my impression from doing a bit of research that the mirror, the actual mirror, and that black bit are all one piece. So it seems to me that I'm concerned that the whole mirror pops off when he hits it. If the case is that the whole mirror is getting knocked off and dangling down the side of the car, then he's got two or three nuts that have come loose that should be holding the mirror on. But if it's just the little black piece of plastic molding and the mirror is staying intact, then all he really needs is a bit of crazy glue, I think, because they should be all one piece. I think something else is broken that we may not be aware of.
Well, you know, I have a 2005 Buick custom LeSabre, and the mirrors that I have on the side of the car, I remember going through a car wash at some point, and, you know, the brushes and that sort of thing kind of had like a breakaway sort of effect. It kind of folded the mirror into the car, and it's basically designed to do that if you come across some sort of, you know, obstacle, like if you're backing out of the garage or you're driving into the garage and you get too close. All I had to do was basically take the mirror and put it back into its position, and it was kind of like spring loaded. Right. Do you think this is something that could be like similar in this case?
Well, I don't know. He's I mean, you can tell that little black plastic triangle bit is off kilter in the picture, and I just need to know. I think we need to get Ant on the show because he needs to answer these questions. I understand what you're saying. The mirror is movable. You can bend the mirror in to fold it in to make it to not stick out so far, like, as you say, going through the car wash. But I don't think that's his problem. I think either his little plastic triangle is falling off or the whole mirror is falling off. Now, if the whole mirror is falling off, there's two or three bolts that are holding that mirror in place. And they are very easily accessed because on the inside of the door, there's another little plastic molding, a little triangle plastic molding, which can very easily be pried loose, and there's two or three nuts inside that molding that he can tighten up.
We are forgetting the most obvious answer.
What's that, George?
Duct tape.
True. That's a great solution.
Yeah, that's a red-green solution if I ever heard one.
That's a great Canadian reference. Thank you, Laughing Buddha.
Yeah. Now, can he claim that? Can he put that through his insurance? Like somebody sideswiped him and the thing's fallen off, and have the body shop take care of it? I mean, it looks like it needs a whole new mirror to me.
Well, you know, no. I mean, yes, that's an option, but that mirror is only worth about $70. I mean, you can buy a mirror, a brand new, whole, fully functioning, pristine mirror for $70, and his deductible for the insurance is going to be $500 minimum, I would think.
Well, that's true. But then you'd have a body shop with the factory part that would put the whole new assembly on there, and you wouldn't have any kind of, you know, makeshift solutions like glue or duct tape. Right.
Yeah. Well, you know, his question was, what should he do, or what kind of glue? And I, you know, if his mirror's now falling off, then it's a teeny little piece of plastic bit, and I would say either rip it off and throw it in the garbage, or get some crazy glue on it and be done with it. And if it's not the whole mirror, if it's not the plastic thing and the whole mirror, tighten your nuts, Ant. That's my solution.
Ogre!
Any other comments? All right, then. That's our answer, Ant. Good luck with that. Write me back and tell me exactly what's happening, and we'll address it again on the next show. Now, I want to get to Laughing Buddha, because Laughing Buddha,
yes,
I have an issue with your show.
Oh, yes, you do. So why don't you tell me about it?
Well, for people who may not know, I don't know why you wouldn't, but the Laughing Buddha publishes a couple of different podcasts. One of them is the Saturday Matinee, where you take radio plays from a vintage era, and you rebroadcast them, essentially.
Yeah, that's correct.
And one of the most recent radio plays that you had was from the Dimension X series.
Correct.
And the title was The Potters of Fersk. Did I get that right?
Yes, The Potters of Fersk, which was written by a UK science fiction writer by the name of Jack Vance. That's V as in Victor, A-N-C-E. And actually, Faye, you kind of prodded me into doing a little bit of research on this. He's still alive.
Really?
He's in his 90s, and he wrote this back in 1950.
Okay, that's interesting. I was curious to know when it was written, because I was wondering if it was some sort of parable to the Vietnam War, but that
actually
not.
It's not the Vietnam War. It was actually the Korean War.
Oh.
And The Potters of Fersk was first broadcast on July 28th of 1950. And the Korean War actually began on the 25th of June of 1950 and ran through the 27th of July of 1953. Hmm. So why don't you write now, just kind of get to the crux of the issue with this particular episode, and then we can discuss it a little bit further.
Sure. So what was extremely interesting to me was it seemed this particular episode, for those who didn't hear the episode, I'll try to give a short précis of what occurs. It's the year 1992 from the 1950 perspective. It's 1992, and Earthlings have managed to master intergalactic travel, and they've gone to this planet somewhere where they're mining resources or something. And there's a couple of tribes on this planet. There's the Potters and the what was the other group? Another tribe, a couple of different tribes. And what would happen on this planet is the Potters would take the dead bones of the other tribe and turn and use them in the potting of their pots. And apparently, you know, the life force of the people was in these pots. Well, along come the Earthlings with their desire to mine the world and make a buck or whatever. And there's this one boss man who's disturbed by the fact that these Potters are using the bones. And if there's no dead bones available, then the Potters just kidnap the members of the other tribe and they throw them into the volcano to make the bones, to get the bones to make these pots. I don't know. I'm bastardizing this story a little bit. I'm laughing Buddha. But in any case, what was disturbing to me was that the big boss man wanted to take an atom bomb and blow these people up to prevent them from, you know, murdering the other tribe members. And there was this other smarter guy who said, well, listen, we'll give you the lime. We can give you lime because we have an abundance of lime from Earth. We can give you the lime to use in the potting of your pots and clay. And you won't have to kill the other tribe members. And apparently, you know, the color yellow was not available. And by taking the uranium out of the atom bomb that they were going to use to kill the Potters of the Fersk, they used the uranium in the pots, and then everything was fine, everybody was happy, and everyone was walking around with uranium-infused pottery at the end of the story. So, I don't know, do you want to... Do you have any comments on what I have to say so far?
Well, I think what's really at issue here is that this particular boss man from Earth, who is the general of this particular colonialization of this culture, refers to the inhabitants, to the alien inhabitants, as gooks.
Right.
And, you know, I have to admit, I kind of wrestled with myself. Do I release this particular episode out into that, knowing that this is an offensive and a derogatory term for Koreans?
Right.
And so given the point of the Saturday matinee programs is kind of to provide an audio snapshot of when these particular programs were broadcast. And I thought to myself, you know, yes, this is an offensive term. It's a pejorative. And do I really do this? But, you know, as a spoiler, if anyone wants to kind of stop their recording at this point, basically, this particular boss guy dies in the end. He's actually kidnapped by the native population, and he is killed and turned into the glaze on one of these pots. And I'm like going, you know, a lot of criticism is given to science fiction writers when they try to do world building, when they walk this very fine line of using a contemporary term for an actual people into their story or their world building. So I figured, since this guy, who is really small-minded, you get that impression from listening right. to the entire episode.
Right.
The fact that he dies in the end is like, okay, well, you know what? He was an asshole and he died, so I guess, you know, I will go ahead. Yeah, the world spins further. So I went and did some research on this term that is used to refer to Koreans, and the etymology of it is still not very clear. It depends on where you look. Some scholars and folk entomologists basically say that this term goes back to the very early 1920s. And kind of the story is that American Marines who were located in Korea would see small children pointing to them and saying, "Miguk," which was their term for America. The Korean word for gook simply means country, and miguk means their term for the word America. And these Marines basically got it wrong. They thought that the children were referring to themselves as gooks. And that's how the term kind of started off. But as you know, it is a pejorative, and it is an offensive word, and it's probably something that we shouldn't use. But I curate this kind of material, and it's really good that you and I are having this conversation now to kind of broaden that out, to kind of go back to the roots of this and saying, okay, where did this come from, and why is it offensive? Why is it not a really good term? So
right.
That's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
Well, it was absolutely an extremely interesting episode of the Saturday Matinee, and certainly thought-provoking. And the other thing I just want to leave at the end is the the fact that they took this, you know, they took the guts of the atom bomb and then you know, distributed it around to the whole tribe or the whole city or whatever they were in.
Yeah,
now like, everyone's walking around with the
yeah, it's like uranium for everyone.
So that was interesting. So definitely, people, if you want to hear what we're talking about, if you've not already. It's the March 23rd episode of the Saturday Matinee on the scooterdiaries.net. So go and check it out. Anybody else in the room have any comments or anything about tonight or this episode of the Pink Wheel Nuts Garage? Well, hearing no motions.
I'm sorry, I'm busy coloring eggs right now.
And we were talking in the chat room about balls and tuna casserole. So.
I just want to note that Kathy Bacon is in the room, and to steal a famous international internet celebrity's term, she is now my number one fan. So, Kathy Bacon, hello, how do you do? So, guys, let's go around. We'll just say our goodbyes. I'll give you an opportunity to promote your shows. So, George in Atlanta, I'll let you start.
Thank you for having me on the program tonight. Enjoyed very, very much. You can find me at georgeinatlanta.com.
Thank you, George. Are you going to sneak out a music episode? Because I'm running low on music, you know.
I am afraid. I'm working on one. I really am, but I'm afraid of the police.
I know. Couldn't you just send me a music tape or something?
Yes.
All right. David, that Blue Jeans guy, where can we find you on the intertubes?
You can find me at thatbluejeansguy.com.
And that Peter G.
Well, thank you, Faye. And I'm part of lots of Life on the Shit List and lifeontheshitlist@gmail.com or that Peter G on the Twitters. Thank you.
Laughing Booty, do you want to tell us who's left behind here in the chat room?
Who's left behind?
I mean, who's still here?
We didn't get raptured.
To the end of the show. Who's made it with us?
Well, Big Fatty is still here, so he's still with us. And Toppy Smelly is with us as well, as is Moose Pea.
And don't forget Kathy Bacon.
Yes, Kathy Bacon, who is our bestie.
Right. And I just want to say, I am the Faye Driver. You can find me and this episode at pinkwheelnuts.com. The next episode of the Pink Wheel Nuts Garage will not be until April the 26th, fully 1 month from now. But I think it might be a very special episode because we're going to have a lot of interesting guests, people who've been here in the close proximity of the Vancouvers with me. I think it might be an interesting episode, April the 26th, so come back for that. And the man who always has the last word on the Pink Wheel Nuts Garage, that is the Laughing Buddha, sir. Go ahead.
That's me, the Laughing Buddha, and you can find me on the internet at thescooterdiaries.net, and hopefully, if I can ever figure it out, coming soon to iTunes near you. But you can subscribe manually. Just shoot me an email. I'd be happy to provide you with the link. So thanks for joining us tonight. And until next time, do take care.
Pink Wheel Nuts Garage.